But. Okay, you spot it. What do you think of two back?
Too high.
Not too good. Okay, what do you think of Greek last? Okay, I've got them all here. It's an early pace situation, this track. This is Kansas Woodlands. Greek, off of two of his lines, is better early than any horse in the race. You see that? All right, you wouldn't believe it looking at the lines, would you? So let's not get carried away by what our linear mentality tells us. Put them in. Put in five or six lines for a horse until you get to sense this. It's worth it. Isn't it worth it for whatever it pays, $1,656.80? Two of Greek lines are better early than any other horse in the race. One of Greek's lines, the last line, is no good. It tells you don't use its last line. Use either the fourth back or the second back. Now look at little Mitt. Boy, you figured that Mitt couldn't come in. He's even worse than Greek. Look at his lines. It tells you that Mitt's third race back is better than any other horse in the race, and his last race is better than all except one horse in the race unsustained, which is your counter-energy graph. Doing this amount of work tells you to throw Greek. The Greek's not going to place. If he wins, he's going to win, and otherwise he hasn't got a chance. But says he can win off of two lines, and it says that Mitt can win off place off of two lines. Now, what more do we need to take a little? What did it cost? $6? Oh, exactly. It costs what? $12, folks. How often do you throw away $12 on booze that makes you sick to your stomach? Hell, Jimmy will give you what he pays for in spills, and you could buy these all day long.
Or you need like fool's exactas on that, a $54 payoff too, though.
You need what?
I said I wouldn't even fool with exactly probably with a $54 payoff.
Well, what the heck? You got twice in there quite a bit.
That's right.
So you're gonna put Mitt, Greek, and twice. Twice is good on both graphs. Those are your three horses you'd logically put in. See, gun. Yeah, I'd even go for four if I can be sure to think. Well, it's there. This program. Yes, Frank.
Doc, there's not a question back here.
Yes, Frank.
Is anybody? It's not a greyhound, dang it, it's a thoroughbred.
Got a question here. Why would you put that horse in when he's got such a long way off there?
I don't pay attention to that stuff. Did Jimmy and I ever tell you to avoid horses because of layoffs? What, you got that out of one of those books, didn't you?
Yeah, Doc.
Okay.
Especially layoff horses on cheap animals, they may need it.
Yeah, I mean, our horses...
You know, really, Frank, these are cheap horses, and if they've been off 30 days, they may come back fresh. And these cowboys, you don't know where they've had those horses. They may have been working them, and workouts don't show. You just assume that, hey, they've been working, and they got them ready.
The horse shows the 5th of August to the 25th of August that he runs well after a layoff.
Okay. A gentleman from St. Louis reminds you, if you go back in the horse's past performance chart, you see that he comes off of a layoff very well.
But Howard did say it. He said it in a nutshell. We completely ignore it. We just throw him in cage and say, hey, if he comes up top, we're going to bet him.
I had the top paying exact at Saratoga last year when all of our experts didn't. The horse ran August 1988. And it was August. So He missed a year. He's well rested. He placed.
We're sitting in California, and we've got an outstanding horse. We're sitting at the OTB in California. Howard and I have an outstanding horse. And so someone asked us who we had in the race, and we said, we call the name of this horse. This is in 88. They said, well, the horse hasn't run since 86. Well, we had looked at it, and the six looked like an eight to our old eyes. Now, since they brought it to our attention, now Howard and I get nervous. Say, gosh, maybe there is something wrong with the horse. Now, we're smart enough that we go ahead and bet the horse, but we really cut back. Like, instead of betting a full bankroll bet, we bet $3 or $4 across, or $5 across, or something like this. And the dang horse won and paid $26. So how many times have you been bitten by a layoff horse that you have ignored? Or as Howard said, they do place.
And they pay for it.
Yeah.
Sure. You don't get long shots from something everybody can detect or following mainstream guidelines. Look at Greekville. Greek came in third Thursday in a higher class race. But look at Greek. He likes to run early. Fairmont Park, he kept the lead for two calls and was close up at Fairmont Park, three back and a good track. And this was a good track the other day. Now, I can see Greek getting Greek by sensible, logical, linear handicapping. But I can't see getting Midas Stride. Only the program will give you Midas Stride.
I've got a question on Midas.
Sir?
One of the races you put in the 18th October race.
For where?
For Midas Stride. Did you use this 18th October?
Oh, wait. Look to see what I use. It's all spelled out for you. Midas Stride was taken from three back and from the last race.
Okay. Why would you even put three back?
Because I'm doing it for you. You're the one who said you can't tell.
Yeah, but I mean, well, the way I look at things now, which is most likely wrong, that ain't no way I can see that race as being representative, simply because the level of competition that horse was running against was, I know those horses.
That's a problem. Don't ever know horses.
Yeah. Now, listen, this is something else, people. Don't guess this level of competition. These trainers are idiots.
I don't know that.
They don't know what these horses are worth.
Well, you got to have the battle.
Not. And you're going to make a mistake. This is the same thing that William Scott's things are going to do for you. I have seen people say, hey, look, I'm going to penalize this horse, or I'm not going to, he's going up in class. And you look back and he ran in the same tandem with the horse three down. Be careful on determining what the level of competition that a horse has been running. Do it on the matchup. This horse has been running against 45 fours, and today this is basically what it's going to do. This tells you what the horse can do, and not this claiming ladder. Be careful with it, Craig.
I get a little kick out of people talking about William Scott. William Scott is a client of mine who uses energy and has for the last 2 years, and is the worst qualifier of contenders that I ever met, including any of our clients. He came into my office and spent several hours, and I told him, what the hell are you putting these horses in for? Because they met his guidelines. I don't know why anybody would recommend his guidelines. They don't work, and he doesn't even use them because he lost with them. He's a client of ours. He uses energy and does very well with it.
He stood up at Expo 90. William Scott did when we were making the presentation on the SART methodology, and highly recommended it. He said, I am a client, and I use the energy program, which is the best that has ever been, including that of William Scott.
Here.
The man said that.
Yes, he did. He told me that in a letter, and I said, I'll never use this letter. I know some system sellers who'd have that letter in the headlines in the racing forum the next day. And he didn't mind. He said, oh, it's all right, exploit me. I don't care. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that to you.
He's really a class man to get up against 100 people or more. and say this, and they're videoing it.
They took it out of the video.
Out of our video.
They took it out of the video.
Yeah, they took it out of
the video. And they don't want one guy getting all that applause. Yes, sir.
Another note on that third race back, and it was a race after a layoff, and he's a layoff horse today, so that'll be real.
What back page is this man racing?
The race is.
Race.
Yep. You've come a long way, Lewis.
Yeah, thank you.
He has.
Thanks to you, Jimmy and Tom here.
He's come a long way. He said
he burned up the gold mines in my house.
He had mine too.
Think about having a private line.
It starts on page 36. Well, page 37 is where their lines are. Well, the third race back, he ran against exceptionally fast time. He had over an 80 speed rating, which was one of the qualifications that gets you in regardless of how badly you look like you ran. He's got an 81 speed rate, folks, beaten 15 and quarter lengths. A 78's adequate at this track, so you take the 78, because you have very... that's where they run. They run in the 70s more than they do the 80s. He qualifies off of both of them. KGen knows more than we do. Take it. Jimmy and I are the most shocked by what it does, and we conceived it. But it's so marvelous. It's like having when you're hoping your kid will grow up to be somebody, and when he does, you really didn't expect him to, and he does. Yes, sir.
Tuesday night at Birmingham, the first race, they had a horse in there that had run $3,000 claimer. I didn't have it caged, you're just giving it to us. But I used the pace line where the horse got beat 15 lengths. And the first half of the race, it was 44-4. I put it in as that because to me, the horse looked with his APV, he belonged in it. Angie put that horse right straight across the top with a big gap, like Mr. Bradshaw said. Nobody picked it. I on the way down, I said to my wife, I said, we ought to get a good price on this horse.
I bet you.
$3.80. And he didn't have to go get the lead. He let the false speed go to the half, and at the half he moved and won, going away in 112. But energy, to me, in that one race he handled it.
Because I'll pay half your moving bill if you move. If you don't take more than four couches.
Craig,
get out of there.
I want to elaborate on this, on training.
Then we'll go to lunch.
On claiming price, this claiming ladder. I want to elaborate on this a little bit. I want you to look at page 37 there. The mistake that people really make. Let's look at, let's look at Greek. And let's ignore the last race. They say, well, okay, look, this horse is an allowance horse. This horse is not an allowance horse. He is not an allowance horse because he ran against allowance horses. What is the true class of this horse?
3,000 to 3,500.
He has won 4,000. Now, he has won at a $4,000 payment. He's a $4,000 horse. But, you know, based upon the real, true claiming. And if you start looking at these things, say, well, hey, look here. His last race, he ran a $7,500 allowance race. He's an allowance horse. He is not an allowance horse. He's a $4,000 claim.
He's an allowance horse for half of a race.
Yeah.
So why you wouldn't do anything... I'm along with you here. You wouldn't do anything with those two lines because he'd come out of place. Right?
I would completely ignore it. I didn't like the last line.
Which is the same reason I'd ignore Sweet Diva's line three back.
And
Mitch Stride's line three back.
Well, but if you put, you know, you get it off of both lines. You get them off of both lines. But when you use this thing, stop thinking. Seriously, you got to stop thinking.
Mazzotta or whoever he is, you can't use the last line. If you're going to make the horse a contender off that last line, you may as well throw him out.
Well, no, he comes up, his last race comes up third on the Cauldron of Energy.
Yeah.
So you have to bet two more horses to get in the exacta, but...
yeah,
definitely run down no early, man.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, there's a buffet waiting for you in the dining room, the bar. I guess it's the dining room. They've made it specially for us at a reduced price. And we'll meet back here in an hour and 15 minutes. It's really wonderful, and it saved my life. I think the first time we ever had a meeting with energy people, 2 years ago in Albany, and even those who weren't making a lot of money, who weren't winning a lot, were winning and had such a positive attitude. When I get reports like this, and a guy says, I'm not doing very well, a 5 out, yeah, but he left 11, he had 11 winners, 12 winners and stuff, and he gets a profit of a 122 profit in his first report, 122% ROI. He doesn't think he's doing good. It's great not to think you're doing good, but you're really doing terrific. Here's a report in which he does real well, but his mutual's too low. I don't know whether that has to do with Arlington Park and Canterbury or whether it's he's being timid, but he's still a winner. Makes me feel so great. See that people have pulled themselves up and gone to the what wins and to see you win, and even when you're not doing as well. And I'm grateful for the reports, and keep sending them in until such time you're doing 39% consistently, and then send in the monthly report. The reports are there for a purpose. They're to feed my ego, and for me to be able to correct your problems. I can see from these reports what your problems are without seeing the races themselves. So one gentleman was wondering what you put in all these report columns. I'll go over it with you real quickly. For those who don't remember, the condition should just be the condition of the track, whether it's fast or off or whatever. And the reason for that is, if I see you're losing on all the muddy track races, you need help getting over the stigma of thinking you can't win on muddy tracks. If they're all fast, it doesn't matter too much. But if I see, every time I see a slow track, I see a lose, then I'm saying you haven't learned to conquer slower tracks. This gentleman is about halfway between the two. He's bad and he's just as good when he wins. The Varigate predictor, you all understand that. You check the Varigate of his early press read, but E and P checks and SP. You've done that right. The one area where we have a little problem is the UXR, actual. I want the actual UXR number of the winner. Here's what this tells me. It tells me, how's the low UXR doing? Now, he's got one UXR here that's over 104. The rest of them are down in a very respectable area. When it's 104 and the Varigate is sustained, that's okay. And he's done very well with the UXR and with the MUV.
I know that the track he plays is, this is Canterbury and Arlington Park, that it is not very heavily weighted at this particular point in time. It's not heavily weighted too early. There's only 2-3 wire-to-wire horses in 21. So that tells me they're not going wire-to-wire very often at this track. Actual finish. I used to get a lot of people send me win for every one of them. I'm not old enough that I don't know that somebody wins every race, but I really want to know is what the two horses that you selected did up to show. So if it's win and a show, it'd be WS. If it's win and an over show, that's W0. Place, very important. If you get a lot of places in there and no wins, I'm still seeing you're having excellent skill at picking place horses. So it tells me an awful lot and should tell you a lot. And, of course, your ROI, if you don't figure it, I do it for you. So when you get, when you start off with a bang, it may not be a bang to those of us who've been around it a while, but if you do positive on your first shot, you're on the way to being a consistent winner. Now, I will say that 664, if that's a true average mutual you track, that's too low. Do this. At your track, take all the non-maiden races for a week of the winners, not the ones you picked, but every winner in a non-maiden race, take it for a week. Add up the mutuals and divide by the number of horses you did and find out if your track is producing lower mutuals. We found out that Minnesota is producing lower price winners because they're scared stiffless up there, whatever, stiff. They're scared because they have to card the races for favorites to keep what few fans they have in coming back. That's true at Birmingham to an extreme degree. They're going to go out probably. But Arlington, at certain times of the summer, 680 is a hell of a mutual. So the thing is, when you have intertrack wagering, as you do in Illinois, play Fairmont Park or Balmoral or both. Don't eschew Fairmont Park because you think it's a cheapy track. Hey, that's mainstream logic. Play Fairmont Park. Average mutual, 1180. Jeez. Never mind. Don't look at what the horses cost. And you're getting 680 at Arlington with all those high-class horses? Hey, come on. Play Fairmont Park. You can do it. Forget Arlington. Oh, these are our folks. It's family. I wouldn't tell the world that. Now, third, yes, sir.
Only downstate Illinois can play it.
Only downstate?
Not past Springfield.
Oh, move south of Springfield.
Yeah. You don't play it. Somebody's got to play it.
But you can't play it.
Oh, well, we're going on.
Because you're north of Springfield.
Yeah. They don't have a Mason-Dixon line anymore. They got the North of Springfield line. Another thing is that when you do a track profile, you see a different median energy and a lot of different things than you do when you put it in your program and it's automatic adjusted or manually adjusted. The profile is there to give you a kind of a ballpark figure relative to what the horses do raw, not matched against each other. So when you see like 68.5 raw median on the profile and you see it's 69.28 on the adjusted in energy, that is the more viable one for you to gauge the playing of that race by. The raw is not what you play the race by. You play by what is called adjusted, be it manually or be it automatic. Don't expect a horse to run 68, 90 when he's up against horses that will cause him to run 69.05. The beauty of energy is that it pits the horses against each other and not against raw times. It matches them against each other. Now, you've heard a lot about databases. How it would be so easy to handicap from a big database. Just punch up a horse and punch up another one. When you do that, you're not handicapping races, you're handicapping horses. And handicapping horses is the dumbest thing we can do. We do not handicap horses. We handicap horses in relationship to their contention. I'll give you a good example of a prominent race, the Kentucky Derby Future Book, which people like to play in the West, where you can go to Las Vegas or Mexico and you can make a bet on a horse that's going to pay 2-1. He might be 90-1 on the future. It's way back in March. Guys call me all the time and say, well, what do you think of so-and-so in the Derby? And one of them was about unbridled. I said, I have no idea. I said, I can't tell you what unbridled will do until I know who he's going up against. Who's the competition? Most handicapping systems and methods and most handicapping experts handicap horses. All right. That's their biggest mistake. Our biggest asset is we handicap races. And energy's biggest asset that it can take the mix and match of a given race and show you what the horse will do against that day's competition. Put him up against 2 weeks from now competition and it doesn't mean a damn thing. He might be the worst horse or the best when he was the worst in the other one. We have to do it against the field. Hey, it's like being smart or being dumb. If you're smart, I'll give you an example of me. Remember, Terman was testing brightest kids in the country back in the 30s? In my county, I was number one. I was going to go to Stanford and have a big, I was going to get written up, and I was going to be heralded as a boy genius. Then I got with the rest of the state, and I came out 19th. And he only wanted the top 10. I could have been a child prodigy if I just stayed in Riverside County. In Riverside County, I was a prodigy. Against the whole state, I finished 19th. Now, you don't get paid off as child prodigies unless you're in the top 10. Okay. And some of the guy comes out of, he lives in someplace in, where do they have Harvard, that town, or New Haven for Yale or whatever. And all the kids are professors' sons and daughters, and they say, your IQ's 96, or you're stupid. Hey, he moves to Beaumont, Texas, or Beaumont, California, and he's the brightest guy around. So it's all relative to who you're matched up against. The smartest guy in the world, you put him against smarter guys, and he don't look so good. You put the dumbest person in the world against dumber people, and he looks terrific. So the ideal thing in any society would be if everybody would move to a town where they were superior to somebody. Unfortunately, we can't all make those moves. See, let me tell you about Okies. Have you ever heard about the phrase dumb Okie?
Right.
They're all in California. They literally are all in California. There are no dumb Okies in Oklahoma.